Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Lone Star Barn Burner Hockey Podcast. Gonna have my friend join us here in a second. So in the meantime, let's go ahead and kick off the opening song. What's going on, man?
Well, not a lot, to be honest with you, other than Stars finally broke that five-game winning or losing skid and finally won one the other night.
Yeah, one. One.
Hey, one starts to two starts to three, and hopefully this continues to go.
Hey, is that how that works? One plus one is two, and... Oh, okay. I'm in a mood. I'm so sorry.
Well, you know, I can't blame you with the way the Stars have been playing here lately, but I will be as honest as I can be with you. I know the other night you had to hit the rack because it was a late game against Las Vegas, but I'm telling you, you missed a heck of a third period and probably the best overtime, even though they didn't score. My hat's off to the Golden Knights. Excellent job. There were a couple of opportunities the Stars had in that overtime period, and their goaltender just stood on his head and made some amazing saves. Did you watch that video I told you to watch?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did. Man,
he made an amazing. I'm not sure. I think it was was it Rupe that had the opportunity there when he made that save? I think it was him. But anyway, it was such an amazing save. But anyway, we wound up going to a shootout. Robo and Hintz. I mean, what can you say about those two? It's like they're the 1-2 punch, especially on that line, and they were the 1-2 punch in the shootout.
See, that's the problem, too. That's why it's really hard for me to get behind this team right now, is because you can't have a one-line scoring team. And right now, that's exactly what they have. And, you know, you're not going to add to it by trading a guy that only has 9 more goals. I mean, you're trading for a guy that has 9 more goals than somebody you traded to get that guy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that trade here in a few minutes. But, you know, wish Garyanov the best of luck. Hopefully he can kind of get out of whatever slump he's in and, you know, maybe figure his game out and, you know, show what he could have been here in Dallas.
I don't buy it, though. Like, you want the team to get better, you want offense, and you do that. Like, I told you, and I harped on it from all the way until, I believe, one of the first times we did this show till now, if memory serves me correctly. Man, there's nobody on this team you can trade. And they tried to. Boy, did they try to. But it's not going to work.
Well, I think it's kind of a double-edged sword when you're in that management role and you're trying to figure out, hey, what the heck's going on? You're on a five-game. Now, look, if they weren't on that five-game skid, I don't think the trade happens. That's just being honest. I think the trade happened because they're on a five-game skid. We're fastly approaching the playoffs, and maybe they just wanted something to wake the team up, and unfortunately, Garjanov was the sacrificial lamb, and that's just the way the cookie crumbles. You know, like I was telling you, I think that, you know, it's twofold. I think they were, number one, trying to throw a trade in there that might appease some of the fans. Granted, it's not going to appease all of the fans, but at least some of the fans can't sit there and say, well, they didn't trade anybody, they didn't do this, they didn't do that. And it also opens up a little bit of cap space.
Oh, yeah, cap space. That's a thing.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, I hope it opens their eyes. We'll know tonight.
We'll find out. How much time do you think they're going to give old Dano? I don't even know if I pronounced his name right, but anyway, we'll go with it.
I've heard people pronounce it Dadanoff, Dadanoff.
Yeah, Dadanoff, Dadanoff. I've been trying to find out because, I know there's certain people that listen to this that kind of jump on if you're not pronouncing people's names right.
Call him Daddy.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you. I started watching some video late last night, and especially of his last, four or five games. He's actually a little impressive, especially in the special teams area, which is one thing that we kind of need some help in right now. You know, he's actually, he might be that spark that we might need. You never know. You know, these are the kind of trades right here where it's not going to make or break the team. You know, nothing against Garjanov, but he was not really – he wasn't that piece of the puzzle that was, like, getting everybody going and doing whatever. And it's like, oh, my God, it would be different if they would have gotten rid of Johnston. If they had gotten rid of Johnston, I think I'd have been a lot more upset. Not saying that I didn't like Garjanov, but in all honesty, this is a league of what have you done for me lately. You know, there are some that believe that he has already plateaued as far as where he's going to go as a player. So, he was basically he's the sacrificial lamb, and that's what he was. And so, this is kind of one of those trades where it's not really going to hurt the team. And in the worst case scenario, it's not going to hurt the team. In the best case scenario, it can help the team.
True.
And like I said, we'll find out. They play Vancouver tonight. We haven't played them this season. We're fixing to go into a stretch where we're going to play them three games here over the next 30 days or so. We've got them tonight, and then we've got them again on the 14th, and then again on the 25th. And,
wow.
And when you look at a team like this, honest and truly, I don't mean to make this sound bad, but I mean, this is kind of the team you really want to go against after a tough fought victory against a tough team like Vegas. We match up a lot better against them. Of course, power play, we're both kind of neck and neck. They're 11th and we're 12th. We've slipped, like I said, in that power play. We've slipped. We were top five at one point, and we're now down to 12th. So, like I said, maybe Daddy, maybe he's going to be what we need to get that power play up and going, and maybe he's going to add something to that power play line. Penalty kill, they are 32nd in penalty kill. We are 4th. So this is an opportunity for us, especially with a new player coming in, for him to demonstrate what he can do, because, nothing against him. Every team has its highs. Every team has its lows. So any Canucks fans out there that might listen to this, please, I don't tear down teams, and I don't say this team's better than that team or anything like that. I'm just going based on numbers right now and what I'm looking at. So when you're looking at 32nd team in penalty kill, and we've got a new guy who could help invigorate our power play and special teams, this is kind of what you want. You want something to where he can come out and get a foothold, maybe do something positive that helps him meld and mesh better with the team. Of course, face-off, we dominate in the face-off. We're second in face-off. You know, it's amazing how many faceoffs we win. It blows me away. Goals forced, they're 10th, we're 15th. Goals against, they're 31st, we're second. So, you know, this is a good opportunity for us to come in and continue this winning streak going. You know, not saying that the Canucks aren't a threat, because, of course, any team is a threat, especially when it comes to the Stars.
Oh, yeah.
Bad habit of playing excellent against the best teams out there and then playing like garbage against, you know, playing to the level of the team they're playing against. But, you know, like I said, this may be, you know, that overtime period, if you watch that overtime period, I haven't seen a fire in this team like I saw in that overtime period the other night in a long time. I mean, a long time. They were really invigorated. It just seemed like they had so much energy for this far into the game, for it to be an overtime period. They were like fast, lightning, good passing, you know, opened up lanes, did everything necessary to do. Just excellent goaltending on the Golden Knights, and they just couldn't get it through the crease, couldn't find it an open. You know, they tried high, they tried low, they tried every which way you could. It was almost like watching, you know, teams go against Ottinger. You know, he's another one of those that just gets these amazing saves. It's like he's standing on his head in the net. And, you know, so my hat's off to them. You know, we wound up winning in a shootout, which was great. And, you know, hopefully this game we have coming up against the Canucks, we can actually get a win and a solid win and not one where we have to go to overtime or go to a shootout, you know, and you know, let's gather some more points, build on this slim lead that we have right now, and keep the momentum moving forward.
Man, that division lead we have is on Slim Fast right now, and we are going up against a Bo Horvat-less Vancouver Canucks. They traded him to the Islanders. When you're trading a player of that caliber, you guys really are throwing up panic signals or smoke signals, whatever the heck they're called.
Right.
You're saying you need help.
Say again? The Canucks are definitely on the ropes right now.
That's interesting. Where are they in the standings, by the way?
Let's see. Right now, I was just looking at that. In the wild card standings, I want to say they're 8-7. Yeah, right now in the wild card. 6th in the wild card. So, yeah, they've got a lot. They are on the ropes and dang near almost near elimination.
I'll tell you this: when I see Vancouver's ranking, given their history, you know, at least as long as I've watched them, I'm going, oh boy, tonight's gonna put the Stars on their heels. You know, a team like that, when they have to trade their best people, and you know, they're still kind of chugging along. They are. They're still a pretty decent team, despite their stats. I'm scared, once again, because the overtime thing, still.
Yeah. Like I said, this is an opportunity for the Stars to actually come out and win a game and win it solidly and not go to overtime.
They should. They don't have Bo Horvat on the other side anymore. And, you know, if...
So this should be a domination by the Stars. On paper, this should be a 4-1, maybe even a shutout style game on paper.
Oh, my God. I would lose my ever-loving mind. I would lose my ever-loving mind. The way they've been struggling to see them come out of the shootout with a win, and then they shut out Vancouver, I would scream loud enough to wake up probably all of Dallas.
Yeah. and we're going into, and like I said, I do not want to discount any team, because we've seen in the past, the Stars don't usually play the best against lower ranked or teams that they should dominate. But we are going into a section of the season right now where we could string together some pretty easy, you know, not saying easy, but some pretty significant wins. You know, we've got Vancouver tonight, who once again is ranked sixth in the wild card. Then we have Arizona, who's just below them at 7. And them on Wednesday. And both of those are home games. And then we go back to Chicago on Thursday. And then we finish out the week on Saturday against Colorado. So, you know, if they do anything, these next three games is when they really need to do it.
Oh, for sure. These next few games are huge.
They're a lot bigger than what they may be thinking. These games are huge.
I don't choke under pressure, man. You know, because we, on the outside, expect them to come out and absolutely steamroll Vancouver. You know, what's going on in their heads?
On paper, that's the way it should be. Now, like I said, the history has been they haven't played the best against teams that they should steamroll. So, let's hope that they can maybe change that history. And, you know, honest and truly, their power play here recently has been atrocious. The Stars have had teams down, you know, 5-on-3 and haven't been able to even get – I mean, the other night they had – I want to say at one point they had Las Vegas down. At one point they were 5-3. It was 5-on-3. During the first power play period, they didn't even get a shot on goal. Not one shot on goal.
During the
play, they got two shots on goal. There's a big problem. A big problem. You're not going to win, especially playoff style games, playing like that.
Yeah, you're right. Well, that's where I guess Dadonov comes in handy because, as you said, you know, he's a big power play guy. And, yeah, they were 0-4 against Vegas. I just looked it up. 0-4. And, you know, whatever they did, that's just handing you – a power play is just handing you a chance to score.
Exactly.
You know, and it's just like, you can't do it. Something does have to change. Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, this is a goal because 0-4, you know, what are they giving us to go ahead and believe that they've made a change? Like, or that the change is going to be good. Go ahead. Sorry.
We'll find out tonight, you know. Powerful wise, if he's going to help out. Because, truth be told, the biggest problem that I've noticed that the Stars have during their power play is, number one, getting the puck into the opponent's ice. Number two, maintaining it in the opponent's offense or defensive zone. You know, they have such a hard time. And I don't understand it. You're up a man, but yet you get dominated in keeping the puck in the opposing team's ice during your power plays. It should not be that way.
Yeah, that's one of my biggest pet peeves of this team, and why I will forever be skeptical until they start scoring on at least 3 to 4 chances of whatever chances they get. You know, if they can get, let's say they get 4 opportunities, if they score on 3/4 of them, you know, I'll start seeing a turnaround. But, you know, they play, like, in my eyes, like they're almost afraid of the puck and the power play. And it's a huge pet peeve of mine. It's been this way for years. They get the power play, and boom, goes straight to the other team. I don't know why. I don't know how. I don't know if it's positioning. I don't know if it's personnel.
I noticed the other night a lot of it are errant passes. You know, passing to open ice where there's not a star player, passing to open ice where there's only an opposing team player. And when you're 5-5-on-3, you know, at one point the other night, they were in the Knights' offensive zone when they were up 5-3, and I kid you not, they wound up losing the puck in a 5-on-3 situation. And the Knights had a fast break situation, and I was almost floored. I'm like, how are you giving him this many? That, you know, it seemed like the Knights, I think at one point when me and you were still talking, when you were still watching the game, I think that they were on their first power play, and the Knights were getting more shot opportunities down a man than the Stars were up a man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's par for the course for them lately, because that's just what they do. Like,
you can't allow that.
And, you know, looking back on all that, maybe they deserve to lose that many overtime games. I'm going to be a little cold-hearted there. But, yeah, if you're going to, you know, how do you say this? If you're going to fluff off, there we go, then you can't expect 2 points in the standings. You know, they need to learn that really quick.
Well, I think that 5-game skid, I hope that woke them up.
Yeah, I don't believe it. I really don't. You know, Vegas is a good team. Dallas is fairly good. I'd say middle of the pack. I'm not buying their placement in any of the standings currently. But, you know, it just, I don't know. The trade deadline's coming up. This is a very important game, and I'm not buying anything they're selling.
No. You know, honest and truly, it's like you were saying, you can't have one line. Well, we actually have two lines that are scoring. You know, of course, we've got the Robo Hint line, and we've also got the Ben Johnston line. You know, Johnston's the one who scored our first goal the other night against Las Vegas. You know, and then Rupe Hintz scored our second goal to send us to overtime. But other than those two lines, what's anybody else really doing?
Funny you mentioned that. People hyped up Mason Marchman. I almost called him Brian. I think Brian is his dad, if I remember correctly. Mason Marchman was hyped up. It's going to be a big deal because he did this, this, and this with Florida last year, and it's just like, okay. And yeah, you know, we were hyped up about him on the show. We were hyped up about him off mic, you know, you and me. Mm-hmm. Did you see this? Did you see that? But where did he go?
Yeah, he's kind of falling off into the shadows here recently.
And that's why, honest to God truth, that's why I can't get excited about this team, because they love to put their goalie, whoever it is, Ottinger, Wedgwood, under fire. They force the goalie to maintain the game for them, and it just irks my soul.
Well, I tell you what, if we could just get a couple more players that would play with the heart and determination that Robo and Hintz play with. Those two, honest and truly, are probably the top two players on this team right now. Hands down. I would put Robo at first and Hintz at number two. Because those two, number one, not only are they scorers, but they are defenders as well. The play where Hintz scored on the Knights to get the tying that sent us into overtime, the Knights had a breakaway, and we had an open net, and Robo threw himself in the way, got the puck away, got the puck then down the ice to Rupe, and hence finished it off with a goal.
Wow.
I mean,
turn that around.
Oh, what an amazing play by those two. I mean, honest and truly, what an amazing play by those two.
Yeah, you those know? Kids, they got it.
I mean, left and right, you're seeing, not only are they playing offensively, but they're playing defensively. I don't know how many times I've heard during a game, shot on goal, blocked by, Hintz, caught by Hintz escape, blocked by, Robo or something like that. But if you could just get one more player on one of those lines to play with that kind of passion and drive that those two players play with, it's a formidable team. But until you get that, and I honestly, there's no answer. I couldn't tell, there's some people that try to, they need to do this. Well, they should try to do this. No. Unfortunately, the answer's got to come within on these type situations. It has to come within.
Maybe what they need is to put one strictly offensive-minded person on a line with two really good two-way players.
Possible.
You've got Robo and Hintz, you said, which I have no argument. They're both really good two-way players, and they will give up the body whenever possible, so it seems.
Yep. And neither one of them is selfish.
There you go. What if you mix it up and put them... I mean, this is kind of gutsy. I almost said something completely different. But what if you put them on a line with Johnston? Mix up somebody with somebody that needs to learn those skills. They do have the means from top to bottom to counter the 5-game losing streak with at least a 7-game winning streak. We don't know. And they have done that before.
It can be done, and with the schedule they have going forward right now, it can very easily. They could pull a 3 or 4 game win streak right now.
That would save their bacon, too, because you've got a Winnipeg that I believe just lost in overtime not long ago. And they're still on the heels of the Stars. Who's on the heels of the Stars? We've got, Winnipeg is...
They're number one in the wild card standings.
Okay, so... What we need to do is keep distance between them and Colorado. Minnesota. Wow. Okay. Never mind. That race is a lot. I feel kind of stupid now.
Really tight. It is really tight. The Stars allowed these teams to catch up to them, and now we're in a fight. This is a The old heavyweight battles. We're not in a 12-round battle. We're in one of them old school 15-round, heavyweight championship battles right now. This is like Rocky versus, Apollo Creed.
Oy. Dude, no, it shouldn't even been that way. Go ahead.
No, it shouldn't. No, I agree. It shouldn't.
As hyped as people were, everybody's still like, yeah, well, we're still in the playoff spot. We're still in the lead. Like, you were in a more comfortable lead, like, what was it, 2 weeks ago? Give or take?
Is there any team that has more overtime than us? Well, Calgary and San Jose both have 12.
I got him thinking, uh-oh. Look, okay,
San Jose, who is eighth right now as far as the wild card goes.
12, Calgary. Oh my God.
Who's third right now in the wild card, have the most overtime games in the league. Look. In the Eastern Conference, the only one close to us, really, only two really close to us, is Philadelphia with 10 and Pittsburgh with 9. Oh, you got the Rangers with 9 as well. But, you know, my God, how do you allow that?
That is exactly the biggest reason why I don't believe the hype as well. Because, what is it? We've got 12 overtime losses. Is that what you said?
Huh?
That is, if you double that, what is that, 24 points? That could have been in the win column?
Oh, yeah.
That is exactly why I don't believe in the hype. You're relying on overtime, no matter what the outcome, to give you the points you need. And that's been their Achilles heel at least since they went to the Stanley Cup Finals against Tampa Bay. They don't play to win, they just don't play to lose, or they play to lose.
You know, points wise, right now, we should be in the mid 80s to the lower 90s. We should be up there with the Boston and the Carolina. It is a shame that we are number one in the Western Conference with 74 points. It's a shame.
Very shameful.
In the Central. In our division. With 74 points.
Dude, this is brutal. Like, you want me to believe that this team is 8th in the league? You really want me to believe that? And let me ask you this. If they're playing, like, they don't play to win, but they don't play to what's the saying? They don't play to win, they don't play to lose, something like that. You know, I'm drawing a blank on it. It just, it's agonizing. Why are you doing that? Why are you going to New Jersey, spanking them one game, and then on the rematch getting spanked the next time? You see what I'm saying? Like, what we were talking about, I asked you one time, would you change your game plan from the last time you played them from this to that to that, whatever the case was? And you said no. And they turned around and they lost.
Mm-hmm.
Vancouver is a mystery to us. We know, we know where they match up against us on paper, but we haven't seen them on ice. So there's no history there, at least for the season. I have no faith.
Well, and the proof is really in the pudding the other night. When I say you don't change the formula, if the formula is working, yeah, you might tweak it a little, but don't change the formula. The last time we played the Knights, we shut them out. And we dominated them on all aspects of the ice, from power play to offensive to defensive, you know, special teams, every aspect we dominated. This last game, we did not, because we changed our game plan. We played a more defensive game. We were not attacking as much as we were. And we didn't seem to get that killer instinct really until the overtime period. And the shootout.
That's when the boys put their foot down for once.
You watched that first game from, in fact, I remember watching it with you. From the very first drop of the puck, they were aggressive. And I remember even commenting, I love this aggression. You know, they were firing on all cylinders. They were playing against their top goaltender. You know, here's another thing you got to look at. The goaltender they went against the other night, I think that's their third string, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I believe you're right.
So, you know, the reason they did so well in that first game is because they put their pedal to the metal and did not stop. And and a team like Las Vegas was not used to that.
True.
Somebody coming and punching them in the mouth and coming at them. And what happens the other night when they played them, the first and second period, you know, is like they score, oh, now we score. They score, oh, now we score. That's not how you play teams. And if you watched it, I mean, oh my God, at one point, I want to say at one point, and I'd have to do some research on this, but I'm pretty sure, I can't say the numbers are exactly, but at one point, Las Vegas was up, shots on goal, either 14 or 15 to like 3 or 4 for us.
Yeah.
That's not going to get it done. Period. Playing in, having power play and not getting a single shot on goal is not going to win a game for you. Period. Period. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're Boston right now. If Boston started playing that way, it's not going to happen.
Well, Boston might actually win that way because they actually don't like to put their heads up their butts and they can dig themselves out of crap pretty quick. So
that's true. Well, okay, you're not going to win in dominating fashion, I'll put it that way. Because
there you go.
The Stars did win the other night playing that way. Yes, you can play and win that way, but you're not going to win. Number one, you're not going to win constantly. I guarantee if Boston played like that with no shots on goal like the Stars are, they would not have the points they have. They would not be the consistent winners that they are.
True.
It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. But that being said, you cannot play one game, balls to the wall, pedal to the metal, all out, dominating, punch him in the mouth, and then the next game play this defensive, we're going to try to keep the puck away. Oh, no, they got the puck. Oh, let's get the puck. Okay, they got the puck. Okay, we got the puck. You know, pass here, pass there, errant pass. Uh-oh. You know, oh, yay, power play. Okay, but we don't want to put the puck in you guys' side of the ice. We'd rather just play over here. It's just, we like this ice over here better. It's just, I mean, that honestly and truly, is that what's going on? Is that the mindset? Or what? I mean, you know, it's like there's killer instinct. There is no killer instinct. You know, at that power play, you should be like a shark and the water has just been chummed, excuse me. You know, you've got that blood in the water. You should, your eyes should go from black to white and just attack mode.
Yeah.
And another problem, there's no follow-up. I've seen so many times where there is a opportunity where a puck has either bounced off the goalie's pad in an open opportunity, but there's nobody in place.
Yeah, that happens quite a bit.
Quite a bit. And, you know, and how is it other teams are able to score in certain opportunities? It's because they put players in opportune positions so that when that puck bounces off, they're in that position. And like I said, another thing that irks me and it drives me nuts when it happens, and it happens too often with this Stars team, and I don't know what they're looking at. How the heck do you pass the puck to open ice? Nobody's there. Who are you passing it to?
The ghost of Mr.
I mean, I don't understand that part of it.
Yeah, I'm with you. The drop passes used to drive me crazy.
Yeah.
I'm totally with you. I don't know, man. I really don't. You remember that stretch of the season where they had, what was it, 3 shutouts in 1 week?
Yeah.
You know, that didn't happen just because of Jake and Mr. Wedgwood. That happened as a team effort.
Yeah.
They jumped on everything.
They were aggressive.
Yeah. Every.
If I'm not mistaken, right before that happened, we were actually talking on one of these podcasts here. And I think one of the things I mentioned is I would like to see them be a little more aggressive, because I think at that point they were kind of, they were winning a few and then losing 2 and then winning a few and then losing 2. And we were discussing about, you know, how it just seemed like they just weren't, they didn't have this aggression. And then all of a sudden it was like, I remember messaging you, I like this aggression, because it was being very aggressive. They were coming out, they were, you know, pushing teams around. And I don't know. It's almost, you know, almost it feels like sometimes they're trying to be the schoolboys of the league. You know, hey, look, we're the good guys. We're the guys in the white caps. You know, we're not the bad guys. You know, we're the good guys. And, you know, okay, that might work for some teams, but it ain't going to work for this Stars team. You guys need to get nasty.
You know what I noticed, too? You know that the blackout jerseys we have, the black and skyline green?
Uh-huh.
There was a point in time where they put those on, and for whatever reason, it's like somebody flipped a switch, and that made them more aggressive.
Yeah, it sure did. You're right. Because, in fact, and I think that was during that period when they threw those 3 shutouts.
Yeah, maybe.
I think weren't we surprised that they won like 2 nights in a row? They won 2 games in a row? Because we made comment, I wouldn't mind if they went to these all the time.
Yeah. It was like they were Jekyll and Hyde, man. And it was, you know, if. Why is it that way? Why does a jersey make your attitude?
Got me, man. Got me. But, you know, they really need to figure out what they need to do to tweak some of these lines. I don't know that you might. I don't know that you tweak the Ben Johnson line and the Robo Hintz line. You know, I think you keep those lines as stable as you can. Maybe move a player here or there, but you know, you definitely don't want to move those 2 players from away from those 4 players away from. But
yeah, you're right.
Some of the lines, you know, honest and truly, I mean, I wouldn't mind maybe not doing as a all the time line change, but you know what? It throw a team off. Could you imagine if they threw a line out there and then just hear me out? Ben, Hintz, Johnston, Robo, and then you just threw a defense Markman. Could you imagine?
That'd teach somebody.
I would shit myself. I'd literally shit myself. Because, number one, you've got that rookie aggression from Johnston. And Johnston is constantly aggressive. Johnston is one of those players. I swear, if they trade him, I'm done for this season. Hear me out. If they trade Johnston, and I know his name was being kicked around there, that would be the worst trade they could do next to getting rid of Rupe Hintz or Robertson or Ben. You cannot get rid of this kid. He's got a lot of fire. He's got a lot of passion. He seems to bring out the best of Ben.
Gives Ben somebody to play for.
Yeah. You cannot get rid of Johnston. But you have the aggression of Johnston. You've got the knowledge of Ben. You've got the skill of Robertson and the skill of Rupe Hintz. Those four on a line together, ooh, give me chill.
Well, I mean, I don't know if they would do that on the standard line, but that would be one.
I'm not saying do that on a standard line. I'm just saying, hey, throw it out there just for a little bit. You know, 2-3 minutes. Let's just see what.
Power play.
Power play. That's the best time to do it. Throw them four out there during the power play. Oh, my God.
Do it against Vancouver, too. Why the heck not?
Why not? Why not? That'd be, you know, and I would call that the terrifying line. The nightmare. Bone chillers. The Nightmare on Elm Street right there, you know?
Oh! Ooh. That gave me chills. Ooh, boy. Yeah. That would be amazing.
Might change things up a little and might invigorate the team, you know?
True. Might bring them some luck in the overtime, too. I mean, it'd definitely give you some puck pursuit.
Because honest and truly, we've got a goalie that can take us far in the playoffs. Ottinger and even Wedgwood. Wedgwood is he's solid. I mean, as a backup goalie, he's solid. But Ottinger, he's the kind of goalie that can, you know, he reminds me a lot of Turco.
Oh.
You know, some of his saves remind me of Turco.
Okay, fair.
Like, you know, the other night he had one, and I swear it was almost like Turco was in the net, you know. He got it that leg pad over, and how he was able to block, keep that goal out was just magic. And when Turco was in the net, it was like magic. You know, there were times where you're like, how did he do that? And Ottinger has a lot of those. I'm not going to say he's to that level yet, but he does have flashes and you know, he's got it. He could be that type of goalie. He could.
They put him in the game when Ben Bishop was hurt in the Stanley Cup Finals, for crying out loud. I mean, yeah.
What a time to get put in, huh?
Dude, if they're going to throw you into the fire, man, that is, ouch. No pressure.
he's got 24 wins on the season.
That's not bad.
No, not bad at all. You know, he's sitting at a 926 right now, which is really good. You know, I like Ottinger.
He is he's by far. Well, do I want to say that? Yeah, I'll say that. The whole time that we were in that little losing streak, man, he was the best player we had.
Oh yeah, definitely. No doubt. He kept us in some of those games.
He sure did.
He kept us in some of those games, and. Some of those goals that were scored on him were nowhere near his fault. Absolutely nowhere near his fault.
And I'll tell you what, instead of, you know, trading all your chips away, unless that's the only way you can make this work, why not sit somebody and call up this guy by the name of Alexander Petrovic? If you look at this young man, I think he's a defender. I just looked him up. I already can't remember. Yeah, he's a defenseman. Okay, he is 6'4" and 216 pounds. And you got him sitting down there in the Texas Stars.
Texas Stars, yeah.
You got Hockenpah up here. Petrovic down there. And you get guys those are two big defensemen. Why aren't they both on your freaking squad?
That's a good question.
Like, what am I missing here? I just gave myself a headache. Like, you need big physical people that aren't afraid to throw the body around. Sure, speed helps, but, you know, two big guys like that on the back end? Oh, my. And Zdeno Chara, back in his day, people loved the heck out of him. He was 6'9".
Yeah.
Chara, dude, the freaking Washington, Ottawa, I don't know who else he played for. Those are how I remember him. And, oh, my God, 6'9". Come on. Don't play no 5'11", dude. Play your 6'4" guy. You want to talk about throwing the body around? Ugh. I don't know. I just riled myself up.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, I hate to cut things short, but unfortunately, I do got to get going. I have a few things I got to get done this afternoon. But I'm going to go ahead and leave you with my prediction over the next four games. I'm going to say we're 3-1 over the next four.
3-1?
Yep.
No overtime, huh?
Yeah, I'm gonna say we go the next three games with no overtime. And I think the one we lose is gonna be an overtime.
Okay. What games do you have us winning?
Okay, so the games that I have us winning, of course, I've got us winning the next three. I think we win against the Canucks. I think we win against Arizona. I think we pull one out of Chicago. And then I think Colorado, which is one of our boxes, I think we're going to lose that one, and I think we're going to go to overtime on that one.
Interesting. All right. Well, I have no counter argument for that. That sounds good to me. As long as we're putting actually, we need to do something a little bit harder to put Colorado down a little bit. You know, yeah. They're the ones catching up. So
yeah, unfortunately, Colorado is just one of those. They've always been kind of our Achilles heel.
Oh, shoot, yeah. Last time I remember them beating them in a point that mattered besides the Tampa Bay Stanley Cup final run was back in the original Stanley Cup run, if I remember right.
And the last time we played them in November, we lost 4-1, so.
Ah, we're doomed.
Yeah. Yeah. They're on a 5-game win streak right now.
Are they?
Yeah, they are.
Before you go, can you tell me how Vancouver's doing?
Let's take a look here. I already had them pulled up. They're on a 1-game loss losing streak right now.
Oh, okay. So they just lost.
They just lost. Yep.
Okay. Well, we got that going for us.
Yeah.
All right. Well, like I said, I have no counter to the 3-1. I hope they pull something out of their butts tonight against Vancouver, but I'm not going to count on it.
I mean, like I said, it's not something to count on, but, you know, if there is a team that they can continue this win streak going or start a win streak, you know, 1-game win is not a streak. But if there's something that they can, you know, get a streak started on and get it started on the right foot with a new player and a new player that is a special teams kind of guy, power play kind of guy. This is the team, honestly, you couldn't have asked for a better setup. Nothing against the Canucks, but you could not have asked for a better setup.
Unless we don't get to see him play tonight.
Yeah, unless we don't get him. And then we don't see him play tonight. So we shall see. We shall see.
I threw a wrench in your whole thing there.
Not really. I mean, I still think that this is the game that you want to follow up a win like the other night. This is kind of a team that you want to play against to forward and keep momentum going. You know, if we won the other night the way we won and as hard as it was, and we played against, say, Boston tonight, that's a terrifying game, and that would be something that could take any momentum you have and just crush it.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's hope that they can get this win and keep things going and keep momentum going, especially going over these next 20-something games and hopefully into the playoffs.
Yeah, that's the most important thing, momentum, because you don't want to go limping in.
Oh, you don't. On that note, JJ, you have yourself a wonderful day. We will talk to y'all later. Those of you watching the game from home tonight or watching in Dallas, enjoy the game tonight and go Stars.
Go Stars. Thanks for your time, dude. Always a pleasure. All right, so Dodonov comes to the Stars, and he has 50 games under his belt. He's got 4 goals, 14 assists, for a total of 18 points and a minus 10 stat line this season. 16 penalty minutes. He's got 0 power play goals. And he's got 72 shots on the season. He is 5'11", 189. He is 33 years old. And it looks as though he is going to play tonight for the Dallas Stars against the Vancouver Canucks. So, after the recording there with my friend, I guess I will reserve judgment and hold judgment on this trade for at least one day. But, I will be completely, brutally honest. I don't get it. He only had 9 more goals, or 9 more points, I'm sorry, than Mr. Denis Gurianov. And if memory serves me correct, I think Denis was a little bit younger as well. So you give up age, you give up speed, and you give up, I guess maybe a little bit of energy as well. Dodonov did do well under DeBar when he coached him. So, you know, that kind of makes you wonder how he's going to do here. But I don't buy it. I genuinely don't buy it. And, you know, once again, we will have to wait and see how he does. I'll hold judgment on another show, or tell another show. Big test tonight for the boys. Big test tonight for Dodonov, if he is indeed in the lineup, which I think he is. They just showed a video of him practicing with the guys. Can't wait to see what happens. Can't wait to see what happens with the season. The rest of the season, I meant to say. And, it should be an interesting little run. Anyways, I want to thank y'all for listening. I want to thank you for your time. And I'll talk to you next show. Thanks for listening.